Father, I just thank you tonight, and I praise you, and I give you honor, and I give you glory. We thank you, Father God, that your angelic host is on the move. We thank you for your Holy Spirit is here this night. We thank you, Father God, that you know each and every heart, and that you're ministering each and every heart. And Father, I just thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight, God is saying, what condition is your heart in? He said, my word tells you to guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. So I wrote down Proverbs 4:23. Keep vigilant, watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither to the right nor left. Leave evil in the dust. Now God says, where is your heart this day? He asks, is it in the basement gathering dust? Or is it where it should be, open for the hurts that are inevitable? Where is your heart in all issues of life? Your heart is the most valuable weapon in your arsenal. Your heart either makes or breaks you. For if it is not open to be hurt, you cannot be my disciple. Yes, my disciples do indeed have hurts, wounds, and scrapes upon their hearts, but they do not slow them down, nor do they cause them to become bitter. God said, yes, my disciples do indeed have hurts, wounds, and scrapes upon their hearts, but they do not slow them down, nor do they cause them to become bitter. Where is your heart for the lost and dying? Is it open with love and compassion flowing forth? Is it open to receive the darkest of dark? Is it open to say your grace is sufficient when the enemy steps all over your heart day in and day out? Let's read that again, because a lot of us can't say yes to these questions. God says, where is your heart for the lost and dying? Is it open with love and compassion flowing forth? Is it open to receive the darkest of dark? Is it open to say your grace is sufficient when the enemy steps all over your heart day in and day out? He says, do you really comprehend what went on with my son's heart? Do you understand how he had to endure the enemy's onslaughts of falsehoods and degradation? Let's look at this scenario. My son is exactly that, my son. He is above every other name in all the earth. But he still came down to earth, took on a human body, endured hardship after hardship as a good soldier. When at any given time he could have called forth a league of angels that would have come to his aid. Did he turn bitter when they accused him falsely? Absolutely not. You ask, what did he do? He came to me and sought my face, and he received power to go on and complete the works he was sent to do. All right, let's go through that again. What did he do? He came to God and sought God's face, and he received power to go on and complete the works he was sent to do. The body of Christ doesn't do that. I want you to really think about this. God goes on to say, Jesus asked for grace, and he received more grace. There was a works for my son to complete, and he knew he had to finish his race before he came back home to sit at the right hand. We need to do this too, guys. We have a work that needs to be done, and we cannot be doing the things we're doing, disgracing God. We need to be going to the throne of grace, asking for more grace, so we can go forth and do the works he's called us forth to do. God said, my son never thought one negative thought. Well, we got an F there. My son kept his mind stayed upon me and me only. Church, the enemy has succeeded in getting your eyes off of me and onto your circumstances. You profess to be just as my son Jesus, but I beg to differ with you. You are not like my son Jesus until you can say, with all diligence of heart, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Let's read that again. You profess to be just like as my son Jesus, but I beg to differ with you. You are not like my son Jesus until you can say with all diligence of heart, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And how many of you in the body of Christ is the devil keeping you from saying that? When somebody hurts you, you want to retaliate. God said, look at each of my son's disciples. Did they not endure severe hardships? Did they not go through times of trouble and disillusionment, which is disappointment? Yes, they did. They endured everything they were supposed to endure, and they finished a race. They endured everything they were supposed to endure, and they finished their race. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, Paul speaking to Timothy. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. In other words, he says, Timothy, whatever I taught you, then you teach to others so they can teach others. This is what's supposed to be going on in the body of Christ, but it isn't. Why? Because we're too bogged down with the circumstances of life, and we have too much bitterness and unforgiveness in us, and we cannot go forth and do the things that we've been taught. The enemy steals it over and over again. Verse 3 says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. You hear what that you just read? It said, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may, why? That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. In other words, you need to please God. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And the body of Christ doesn't sort of play by the rules. God's rules. Consider, God says, consider Paul. He was my chosen vessel of honor, but he had to be let down the wall, hidden in a basket, in order to escape the Roman soldiers. Acts 9:23 says, now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill Paul. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. Now God's question about this, did this cause Paul to deflect? Absolutely not. He felt it was an honor to be persecuted for my name's sake. Now y'all say, after I'm your child, God, why do I have to go through this? Why do people talk about me? Why do I have to hide? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? But God said Paul did not do that. He felt it was an honor to be persecuted for my name's sake. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Let's really get that in our spirit tonight. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. Blessed are you if people come against you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. Let's read that again. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. Why? For the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. The enemy is fighting the Spirit of God that's inside of you. And then he goes on to say, now on their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Saints of God, if God has called you to do works and people are coming against you, then you're supposed to be rejoicing in that. You're supposed to be rejoicing because that shows you truly are a child of God. And the enemy is coming against you, trying to make you quit what God is calling you forth to do. And I'm sorry to say that happens too many times in the body of Christ. We walk around with our hearts on our sleeves, And when somebody comes against us, all we do is bawl, squall, and carry on. If something doesn't go the way we think it should go, right away we want to blame God. We want to quit God. And then we get angry with him, and it's your fault. It's not God's fault about anything. Now, if you don't want to be his child, then just step out of the picture. And the devil will let you alone, and he'll wait till the day you go to hell, and then he'll persecute you. Right? But if you're going to follow Christ, then you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be come against. People are going to see all manner of evil against you. They just are. I don't care how good you're walking and how good you're doing the works the Father's called you to do. The enemy hates the God in you, and he's going to continually going to try to destroy you. See, the body of Christ cannot get this in their little thick heads. They just cannot. If you could get that in your head and down into your heart, then you wouldn't be walking around with your head between your legs all the time. You wouldn't be walking around in sorrow and complaining. You would be rejoicing because you're a child of the King. Make sure you tell your people that. Amen. We just have not been taught the Bible properly, and the body of Christ has been losing ground right along because of that. Then verse 17 says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. If it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" See, God has to judge the house. He has to. Verse 18 says, "Now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as a faithful creator." I want to ask each one of you to quit your complaining about your circumstances. Some of our circumstances are of our own making. They are because God has spoken to us and given us direction, and we went our own way. Why do you complain about that? You got exactly what you asked for. You went your own way, did your own thing, and now you have to pay the consequences of doing your thing your way. But if we continually follow Christ, we won't find ourselves in that kind of a muddle. We just won't. You have to get away from false prophets. You have to get away from false teaching. And you have to get the mind of Christ and follow him and do exactly what he's calling you forth to do. Come on. Acts 5:41 says, "So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." The disciples, a couple of the disciples, were flogged. But it says, "For they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." And 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." It's right in the word. The reason why you don't suffer persecution is because you don't first of all read your word, and you just soon skip over that. You just want to hear all the good parts. You don't want to hear the parts that go is in between. And this is where the body of Christ fails too. All right, and God says, "What condition is your heart in when it comes to the prodigals? Is your heart wide open to take them in, no matter what they have done to you? Is your heart healed from the pain of the past to the degree that you can honestly say, 'Father, I forgive them, for they did not understand what they were doing to me, your child'?" You see, let's read that again. Is your heart wide open to take, well, God's question was, what condition is your heart in when it comes to the prodigals? Is your heart wide open to take them in no matter what they have done to you? Is your heart healed from the pain of the past to the degree that you can honestly say, "Father, I forgive"? He didn't say, "Father, you forgive them. I forgive them, for they did not understand what they were doing to me, your child." If you are there, then you are ready to be sent to the lost and dying. Still God speaking. You are ready to minister to the darkest of dark souls and see them come to the Father of all lights. You are ready, just as my son Jesus, to see miracles, signs, and wonders occur. In the body of Christ, there are too many people that can't say, "Father, I forgive them." They would rather the Father forgive them. They don't want to go that extra mile and say, "I forgive them." to get them. And see, if you do that, you get yourself out of torment. You are not dead yet. You do not know what darkness you're going to do. You yourself are going to do until the day you die. You don't know that. So why are you judging the prodigals? Why are you judging those who have come against you and done evil to you? Are you listening? For the past month, I'm glad God said this, because for the past month, I've been going back to where people have really done some bad things to me, and I have to keep rebuking that. The enemy wants me to walk in, what condition is your heart in? It wants me to walk in the fact that I am now reliving what people did to me, and I'm not going there, and I have to keep rebuking that. I've already passed those stages. I've already said, God, I forgive them. I've gone to the people and said, I forgive you for what you've done to me. You know, you didn't do it to me. You did it to God. Now, there's no way I'm going to go back and drag that stuff back up out of miry clay. Don't let the enemy take you there. He's trying, but don't let him take you there. You're going to have to stand on his head and make him bow. Then God says again, what condition is your heart in today? Search your heart diligently, little ones, and do not be amazed at what is going on around about you. Your hearts must be steadfast and true. They cannot in any way be unsettled in any issues of life. Are you listening to this? You say this is not possible, but if that were the case, I would not have told you it was. Let's read that again. What condition is it your heart in tonight? Search your heart diligently, little ones, and do not be amazed at what is going on around about you. In other words, search your heart and quit looking at what's going on around about you. Quit looking at your circumstances. Quit looking at the fact you don't have a job. Quit looking at the fact you don't have any food to eat. Quit looking at the fact your kids are on drugs. Quit looking at that. Search your own heart. Where is your heart at? Is your heart where God wants it to be? This is what he's saying here. All right, your hearts must be steadfast and true. They cannot in any way be unsettled in any issues of life. You say this is not possible, but if that were the case, I would have not have told you it was. Where does all your doubt and unbelief come from? You are worse than the infidels at times. The world is watching you, and they do not see the steadfastness that they need to see to follow me all the way. Read this again. God wouldn't say this if it wasn't going on. Where does all your doubt and unbelief come from? You are worse than infidels at times. The world is watching you, and they do not see the steadfastness that they need to see to follow me all the way. Are you seeing that? What condition is your heart in? That will be my constant question to you until it is fixed on me and nothing else matters except your walk with me. What condition is your heart in? That will be my constant question to you until it is fixed on me and nothing else matters except your walk with me. You're going to have to die out maybe every second of every day to have your heart the way God wants it to be. You're going to have to quit looking at your circumstances. You know, what the enemy will do, he's going to use your loved ones at this given time to come against you. I was reading in the Bible again where God says your enemies will be those in your household. And he's told me that about 5 times so far in a month. And so, in other words, whatever your household does, you cannot look at that. You have to keep your eyes fixed on God, keep your heart right with God, and keep moving on. You have to tell the devil he's not going to use your household to come against you. Are you listening here? You are so concerned about the little matters of this world, and you are not seeing the complete picture, and you are not staying steadfast. You are so concerned about the little matters of this world, and you are not seeing the complete picture, and you are not staying steadfast. You see this? You see why things are going wrong in your life? You're looking at your circumstances. A lot of the body of Christ made their own circumstances, and now they're moaning, groaning, and complaining. That is not going to change your circumstance. You're going to have to give that circumstance to God. Allow God to work that circumstance out, and you keep your heart right with God. Keep your eyes steadfast upon him. He's saying, move when I tell you to move. Sit still when I tell you to sit still. Shout when I tell you to shout. Scream when I tell you to scream. But only do what I tell you to do. Keep your heart right with me. Someone once said, sow a thought, reap a deed. Sow a deed, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character and reap a destiny. That is so true. Sow a thought, reap a deed. Sow a deed, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Let me ask you a question. How many of you right now, you're just really having a super hard time keeping your eyes fixed upon God? Your circumstances seem to be screaming at you. And even though you've had the same circumstances that have been there all along, all of a sudden it seemed like the biggest mountain you've ever come across. If you're not, thank God you're not. Because I'm there, and I really don't have any, my life has not changed, but the circumstances seem bigger than I can handle. And I know that I can't handle them. And I have to keep every day, give them to God, give them to God, give them to God. And I have to keep my mind stayed on Christ. I listen to music. I read the word. I do whatever it takes to keep my mind stayed on Christ to get those circumstances out of my sight. The enemy is really coming against the body of Christ right now in a way that he hasn't come against the body of Christ. You're going to have to be able to fight these demons from hell, these bigger demons from hell. You're going to have to be able to, with surety of heart, know that you know that you know that you know that you have more power and more authority than any devil that comes your way trying to get your mind off of the things of God and to keep your heart right with God. All right? All right. God says before you can do a thing, you have to think it. Your thoughts lead to attitudes. Attitudes lead to actions. Actions lead to those achievements. It all begins with the thought life. Your achievements will be the sum total of your thoughts. This is so fundamental that this is what I said. This is so fundamental that God destroyed an entire civilization because they had heart trouble. So let's go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Read that verse again. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. I think that's sad, and you know where that's where the body of Christ is at today. God is really grieved in his heart at the body of Christ. Verse 7, so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God was really grieved with all men, but Noah, one righteous man, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's sing this, say this again. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You have to allow God to renew your mind. You have to allow God to come in and reset your heart. You cannot go on with a heart that's troubled. Your heart has to be free. When God gets ready to change someone, this is what I said, when God gets ready to change someone, he does it by changing the way they think. God changes the thought process. Isn't that what we've learned? Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, what did Solomon tell his son? Solomon said, guard, protect, and be careful of your thought life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. All right. Solomon told his son, guard, protect, and be careful of your thought life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. When God is in the heart, then we think right. This is what I've said. We live right and we do right. When God is absent, we think wrong, do wrong, and we live wrong. When God is absent, we think wrong, we do wrong, we live wrong. One of the things I've seen really in the last couple months is pride. Pride is raising its ugly head in the body of Christ, and everybody wants to be number one on a totem pole. I really feel sorry for people who think that way, because you know what? There's only one number one, and that's God. And God picks and God chooses who he wants, where he wants him to be. And he's told this church over and over and over again, quit looking what I'm using somebody else to do. You be concerned what I'm using you to do, right? And I really feel sorry for anybody that's still trying to be head. You're going to find yourself being the tail. Because God did say this is a time when the first will be last. The last will be first. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. That's how. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, this psalmist says, your word have I hidden in my heart. Why? So that I might not sin against you. God quit speaking, so this is everything I'm saying. From your thought life and through your thought life, God wants to minister to you. A God-controlled thought life will govern your speech. You'll find that in Proverbs 4:24. Will guard your sight, and that's Proverbs 4:25. And will guide your steps, that's Proverbs 4:27. From your thought life and through your thought life, God wants to minister to you. A God-controlled thought life will govern your speech, guard your sight, and guide your steps. In the Old Testament, the word heart is used more than 800 times. But more than 200 times, it deals with the thought life. The emotions, the wellsprings of life, those things that motivate and mold us. Read that again. In the Old Testament, the word heart is used more than 800 times. But more than 200 times it deals with the thought life, the emotions, the wellsprings of life, those things that motivate and mold us. And Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinking in his heart, so is he. I'm really handsome, you know, look at me. That's what you are. You're a prideful, self-centered person thinking of yourself all the time. I don't know why that came out, but that came out. Amen. All right, now this is God speaking here. What condition is your heart in this day? If I were to bring you home, would you be ready to come into my kingdom? Or would your heart be such that I would have to turn you aside? If I were to bring you home, would you be ready to come into my kingdom? Tonight, think about this as you sit in your seat. If I were to bring you home, would you be ready to come into my kingdom? Or would your heart be such that I would have to turn you aside? God says, search your heart this day. Do not deceive yourselves. Always remember that I am not a God that can be mocked. In Galatians, in other words, you can't do things and God not know it. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, that he will also reap. Then God says, in what condition is your heart? Is it just like my son Jesus? So I put down Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. What condition is your heart in? Is your heart just like Jesus? Jesus was the Son of God, but yet he came down here on earth equal to a man. Put up with all the ridicule, all the degradation, you know, all the slander, everything. He put up with it all. When at any given time he could have said, God, I'm done. I'm going to come on back home. Let them go ahead and die in their mess. I really don't want to go through with all this, but he didn't do that. He kept the condition of his heart right. And to keep his condition of his heart right, he constantly went to the Father to be reinforced with his grace and his mercy and his love. The problem with the body of Christ is you don't go before God to get reinforced. You just go ahead and muddle along thinking you can do all things on your own when really and truly you can't do anything on your own. Not for God. For yourself or for the devil you might, but not for, well, you can, but not for God. God is calling you to a different stance tonight. He's calling you to a walk that most people won't walk. And that's one of unselfishness. No sin and purity of heart. He wants you to get rid of all your pride, your prideful thoughts, prideful ways. You watch how people dress and how they act. It's all to attract attention. And that is not godly. You don't dress to attract a woman. You don't dress to attract a man. You dress godlike. Because you're not looking for a man or for a woman. You're looking to please God and Him only. I'm asking each one of you tonight to start cleaning up your thought life. You know, you do that, but just ask God, God, just come in with your oil, just wash my mind clean. Just take my mind and clean it up. And I don't want the mind of man no more. I want the mind of Christ. I want to just go forth and be the vessel of honor that you want me to be. I want to be the husband that you call me, be the wife that you call me to be, or the spiritual mother. Or the spiritual daughter. That's what I want to be, God. I don't want to be anything else except what you want me to be. And I want to do it all for your glory. What condition is your heart in tonight? You know, the night when God woke me up at 2:00 in the morning and I heard that and I saw, right? And then he said, daughter, go right. This is your message. God is so faithful to all of us. He's not going to let one of us, we will not be able to stand before him on judgment day and say, God, I did not know, because you will know, you do know, and what you do willingly, either right or wrong, you do it willingly, and some of you go against God each and every day by the things that you do and the things that you say. We need to start walking upright in all of our ways, all of our ways. God is grieved at the body of Christ, he really is, because he's done so much for us. And we don't give him the honor that is due him. If we did, we would see the church is full of saved people. We wouldn't see the church full of people just sitting there, taking up a seat. But they would be saved, sanctified, and full of the anointing of God, and going after and doing great and mighty works for the Father. Are you listening? The enemy is on the move, guys. He's really on the move. But God is on the move greater than the enemy. But we have to fight the good fight of faith. We have to keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ and get them off of the world and get them off of our circumstances. And we have to move on. I shared with Sister Nancy Connell last night when I tore one beer this morning. I said, for the first time in my life, I faced fear. I've never been fearful of anything, but I faced fear for the first time last night. You can leave that on the tape. I'm human. I had to battle through that fear. I had to let the enemy know he was not going to take me out with fear, because he could have taken me out with fear. But as I know it, my Father has said to me, and I stand on his word and not on your spirit of fear, because fear is not of God. And I know I used to always say, I don't understand why I've never been fearful of why other people are. Well, I was fearful yesterday. It's a terrible, terrible spirit of darkness. And so we must all guard our hearts continually so that we don't walk in that spirit of fear. But we walk in the fullness of who God is and what he does for us. Amen. And saints, I don't care. When God tells you something to point A, you're going to have to fight it out until he gets it done at point Z. You know, and while you're doing while you're going from A to Z, the enemy's in there fighting you every step of the way. I don't care what your finances, I don't care what it is, the enemy's always going to fight you. But you have to have your heart right. If your condition of your heart is right, he's not going to be able to take you out. See, if my heart wasn't right, he could have taken me out with that fear. But I know who I am, I know who my God is, And I know that I do exactly what God tells me to do. And so I know the enemy has no place in me. How about you tonight? What condition is your heart in? Ask yourself that. If I was you, I'd ask myself that every day. God, is my heart right with you? And let it be God's word speaking back to you, not what you want him to say. But let it be God speaking back to you. Father, I just thank you and I praise you for your word and for having us look at our hearts and making sure the condition of our heart is right. God's saying what he wants to do is sprinkle upon our hearts tonight the gold of heaven, the heavy dew of heaven, that will break up the hardness of the hearts and will bring the heart of Christ within your bosom. And if you want this sprinkled upon your heart tonight, the altar is open. That's what the altar calls.